Do it.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I welcome you this morning. We have a beautiful day. That sunshine brightening up our world, the whole thing. The announcements are in the bulletin. Just to remind you that at 10:10, the joint call committee will, or the call committee from St. Luke's will meet. And are they going to meet? Where are they going to meet?
Downstairs.
Okay. Wednesday, we won't have confirmation. I know they're disappointed, but I will be gone. Are there other announcements? Mine are pretty skimpy today. Well, that's good. Yes. Pastor John is filling in for me while I'm gone. And if you can't get a hold of him, call Reverend Miller. He'll help. But
see, yes. If the confirmants are really sad, I can do confirmation.
Could you? I didn't hear. Oh, well. Sorry, but you'll just have to waste your time.
I could use one night of not driving around.
That's true. All right. Well, happy to see Callum is back among us. Are you feeling a lot better? Good. All right. We begin the Epiphany season. And in Epiphany, baptism is kind of an overriding theme. And therefore, today, in recognition of our Lord's baptism by John, we pause to give thanks for the gift of our baptism, in which God washed us clean and adopted us as his children, making us brothers and sisters of Jesus. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with the Holy, with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The service continues with the confession and forgiveness, which you find in your bulletin. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As with gladness, men of old.
Set us free to be
Into Christ, faithful to their calling to be your daughters and sons, and empower us all with your Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. God's servant is endowed with God's Spirit in order to bring justice to the nations. The servant will not exercise authority boisterously or with violence, nor will weakness, weariness ever prevent the fulfilling of the servant's task. God's old promises have been fulfilled. The servant's new assignment is to bring light to the nations. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands await for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison who sit in their darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We'll now read Psalm 29 responsibly inside the back of your bulletin. Ascribe to Lord your gods, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord burst forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, Glory!
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessing of peace. The second reading is from the 10th chapter of Acts. Peter crosses the religious boundary separating Jews from Gentiles and proclaims the good news of God's inclusive forgiveness in Jesus' name to Cornelius, a Roman centurion. As a result of Peter's preaching, Cornelius and his family become the first Gentiles to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and his household. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witness to all that we did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to those who were chosen by God as witnesses and who drank and ate with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Before Jesus begins his ministry, he's baptized by John, touched by the Spirit, and publicly as God's child. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi. Having a good day? All right. Hey, have you ever been on a team? Have you? How do your teams get chosen? How do they choose your team? Does a coach just say, I want all you guys to play? No? How do you get chosen? Somebody? To be the team leader picks different people. Does it always feel good when they choose you? Yeah. Back when I was a kid, sometimes we'd use a bat. You know, somebody would grab the bat, and the next person would grab it, and the next one, and the next one, until who was on the top? That was a team leader, wasn't it? Yeah? And that was the person who would get to choose everybody in our school. But we had everybody from kindergarten through eighth grade. So, you know, sometimes it was one of the little kids who got to choose everybody. And that was fun, wasn't it? Well, did you know that Jesus chose you? Good. Because when you were baptized, he chose you to be his special person. And he calls you by name. He knows you. And he knows that he has great plans for you. You're on his team. Isn't that neat? All right. Well, let's do a bump and be on God's team, shall we? All right. Let's say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for calling us to be on your team. Guide us and direct us in all we do, and help us to be good team members. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Most of you have probably been to one of the a zoo where they have an aquarium. You've been in one of those, like at Henry Dorley in Omaha. They have this little tunnel you pass through. It's you look up and you see the sharks floating right above you or right alongside you. And on the sides, you have this beautiful, pristine area that it just looks like a picture, because they have the coral reefs and all of the beautiful fish that are floating along there. It looks absolutely perfect. And then you go out on some of the streets of Omaha or many of the other big cities, and you see the litter on the side, and you realize we live in a disposable world. We dispose of just about everything. Pens, razors, televisions, computers, you name it, we can throw it away. But isn't it nice to know that we all are not among those God decides to dispose of? God has chosen us for a special purpose. There's a play written by a Dutch playwright called The Bluebird, in which one of the characters in one portion of the play is Maurice. The man who wrote it was Maurice by his first name, and he called this character that. And Maurice is going through a difficult time. He has money, he has possessions, he has a job, he has everything you would think would make a person happy. But he's not happy. In fact, he's just downright depressed. And he decides that he has a blackbird for a pet. He and the blackbird are going to travel the world to find happiness. And they travel for years. And when they finally come back, he's more depressed than ever. He's sitting there at his table, just absolutely unable to do anything, when there's a knock at his door. It's one of his neighbors, a poor neighbor, who says that his little son is sick. And all his son wants is a pet, but he's too poor to buy the pet. So Maurice points to his blackbird and he says, well, he can have my blackbird. And as he takes the blackbird out of the cage, it suddenly turns into a bluebird, the symbol of happiness. And that's when he realizes his happiness doesn't come from all of the things he had, or all of the things he could do, or the places he could go, but it came in sharing a portion of himself with others. The Jewish people, through the centuries, have had to learn that again and again and again. They ended up in exile in Babylon because they hadn't learned that lesson. They were continuing to think that they could get all of their happiness by following the dictates of other nations, to make treaties with them and to do the things that they were doing to worship their gods. And after their exile, after 50 years and they return, Isaiah is talking to them because now they've started to think, okay, God is going to take care of us and he's going to send this Messiah. This is where the idea of the Messiah comes up, and they're really getting excited about it. But Isaiah kind of puts a caution on them. And he says, you know, the Messiah you're looking for is not going to be the one you think he will be. He's already given them this warning. And through the next several hundred years, they go through building up this image of the perfect Messiah, the perfect person who will lead them out of all of their difficulties and bring them happiness again. And then about 166 B.C., the Greeks were in power. The Seleucid Empire took over. Antiochus Epiphanes IV, nice name, isn't it? Terrible guy. But he outlawed Judaism, basically. He said that anybody who practiced any of the rites or rituals or worship practices of the Jews would be executed, would be put down. And he desecrated the temple. He put up statues of all the different Greek gods in, right in the temple that they built after they returned from the exile. And then he also slaughtered a pig on their altar, which, you know, to the Jews was anathema. Well, Matthias Maccabee, you may recognize that name from the past, was one who said, no way, I am not worshiping your Greek gods, I am not following your laws. And for that, he was killed. But his sons, his children, followed after him and started a revolt, which actually got rid of the Greeks. And they got to the point of having to cleanse the temple to make it holy again. And this is where a practice came into being that we know of as Hanukkah. Because as they reconsecrated the temple, they needed oil. They needed enough to last 7 days. But all they had left that had not been contaminated was a small vial that would only last 1 day. But the miracle of Hanukkah was that it actually lasted 8 days. Well, Paul Stuckey from Peter, Paul, and Mary wrote a song about this Hanukkah experience. But it's not just this Hanukkah experience that I want you to think about as I sing it. It has to do with keeping the light of Christ shining too. And this could be even our theme song as we look at our past and look at our future. Light one candle for the Maccabee children, with thanks for the light that didn't die. Light one candle for the pain they endured when the right to exist was denied. Light one candle for the terrible sacrifice justice and freedom demand. Light one candle for the wisdom to know when the peacemaker's time is at hand. Don't let the light go out. It's lasted for so many years.
lasted for so many years. Don't let the light go out, let it shine through our love and our tears. Light one candle for the strength that we need to live, to never become our own foe. And light one candle for those who are suffering pain we learned long ago. Light one candle for all we believe in. Let anger not tear us apart. Light one candle to bind us together with peace as the song in our hearts. That we keep alive in the flame. What's the commitment for those who have died? We cry out, they've not died in vain. We have come this far, always believing that justice will somehow prevail. This is our burden, this is our promise, and this is why we will not fail. And sing along. Don't let the light go out, it's lasted for so many years. Don't let the light go out, let it shine through our love and our tears. Don't let the light go out, it's lasted for so many years.
The idea for all of us to remember that the light of Christ shines in us. At our baptism, we were washed clean. At Jesus' baptism, he didn't need to be washed. John points that out. Yet he says, I want to join the human race and become one of you. And so he is baptized. And he lives for us, and he dies for us, and he rises from the dead for us. And at baptism, we remember that we too are washed clean, that we too are adopted as children of God, because when Jesus is baptized, when he comes out of the water, the voice from heaven declares, "This is my Son, the Beloved." At our baptism, Jesus says the same thing. This is my child, my beloved. He adopts us as one of his own. And therefore we become brothers and sisters of Christ. At the baptismal service, we say, let the light of Christ shine. And we give the child a candle, reminding them that they now are part of the light of the world. We need to remember that as a congregation, what happened 100 years ago doesn't die. It lives and it burns in the light of Christ. So may the light of Christ keep us in his care, under his umbrella, knowing that we are
God's holy people. Amen.
Amen.
Sue.
Tessa.
Tessa?
Michelle.
Michelle?
Stephen.
Stephen. Okay.
Renewing God, give your church boldness to proclaim your promises. Tear down obstacles of injustices so that your word of hope reaches the ends of the earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we rejoice in the glory of your creation, the beauty of rivers and streams, glaciers and oceans, lakes and ponds. Bring restoration to your earth and free us from overuse and abuse of water, air, and land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of peace, we give thanks for order in the midst of chaos. Though we long for greater justice in our world, raise up wise and compassionate servant leaders so that all experience your reign of peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, thank you for the powerful healing we witness through doctors and nurses, medications and therapy, and holistic means. Break through the clouds of pain and anguish with your voice of comfort. Proclaim hope to all who grieve and send healing to all who are sick. We pray especially for the grieving family of Foss and Waugh and ask your blessing on them. And for healing, we ask your blessing on Iris and Stephen, for Tessa, for Kay Thompson, for Sandy Olson, for Michelle Lofgren, and others we name in our hearts before you.
God of courage, we rejoice in this community of hope. Strengthen all who are preparing for baptism and renew the faith of sponsors, mentors, parents, grandparents, friends, and all who guide the newly baptized in this life of joy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of hope, unleash your spirit to increase our trust in you. We give you thanks for the lives of saints who inspired us with lives of baptismal witness. We thank you, O God, that you do grant safe travel to all who are on the roads, and we especially appreciate your help as Sue and I travel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious One, your light shines in the darkness and it is not overcome. We thank you for the witnesses who have testified to your light. Let your Holy Spirit rest on our joint call committee composed of Bill Holly, Leslie Pearson, Loretta Funk, Dean Knauer, Scott Madsen, Walker Silvernagel, Don Scantling, Barb Millett, Peggy Berkey, Kathy Ryman, and Cheryl Gerard. Lead them to the pastor who will best love and serve our churches. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We place our prayers before you, God, united in your spirit through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Into your gracious hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Thank you.
Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the choirs of angels and the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You may be seated. Come forward as you're prepared.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Sin of the world, grant us.
Please stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, in this meal you give us a foretaste of that day when the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.